We're carrying on with this story.
Lord Chaitanya takes prasad from the son of the Brahmin. This is Mark. So where did we leave off yesterday? Does anyone remember? The Brahmin that met Lord Chaitanya in the Keshoji Mandir in Mathura, and they danced together, and the Brahmin was exhibiting so many symptoms of prema. And afterwards, they fell at each other's feet. The Brahmin first fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet. Lord Chaitanya fell at the Brahmin's feet. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm observing such incredible symptoms of ecstatic love of God in your person, that these symptoms indicate that somehow you must have a connection with Madhavendra Puri. Because no person in this world can exhibit such divine love and ecstatic behavior unless he has a connection with Madhavendra Puri, because he is bringing this to the world, he is distributing this. So then the Brahmin says, yes, you're quite correct. Madhavendra Puri came to Mathura, and he came to my house and took food from my hand. His Madhavendra Puri was probably thinking from his side that this is a Brijbasi Brahmin. The Brijbasi Brahmins are glorified throughout this. When Vrindavan is glorified throughout the scriptures, what to speak of Brahmins. When you have the highest place, Vrindavan, and you have the highest Varna, Brahmin, Vrindavan and the Brahmin of Vrindavan, Brijbasi Brahmin, and it's a very exalted combination of place and person. So to take food from the hand of a Brijbasi Brahmin is very auspicious, even for Madhavendra Puri. So he's very happily took food from the hand of this Brahmin. But when the Brahmin was inviting him, this Brahmin from Mathura invited Lord Chaitanya, please come to my house and take food. He was reluctant. He was hesitant because he's thinking, I'm a Brahmin, this is a mendicant, a wandering sannyasi with his own personal servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He's a Vairagi. So perchance he will not want food from my hand. So then he said, you please come to my house for lunch and I will arrange all the articles, and your servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who's your private Brahmin servant, he will cook for you. Lord Chaitanya said, no. If Madhavendra Puri has already taken food in your place, then what's the problem? I'll take food from your hand. And that's where we left off. Then Lord Chaitanya, he's telling this, listen, Madhavendra Puri has come here, and he's taken food from the hand of you. You're a Brijbasi Brahmin. This is my instruction. You give me food from your hand, because your hand is connected to your heart, and your heart is connected to the heart of Madhavendra Puri. We were explaining this yesterday. So the love of Madhavendra Puri's heart has come into your heart, and with that love, you're going to prepare this food, and you're going to serve me this food with that hand, that loving hand. And that love is also within me, because that's my Param Guru. Madhavendra Puri is my Param Guru, the Guru of Ishwara Puri. So this is simply this love is what I'm made of. This love is what I'm distributing. This love is what I'm searching for. It's Mahabhava Radharani. So you cook. Karo, cook. So then Lord Chaitanya says, haven't you heard from the Bhagavad Gita? Oh Brahman, haven't you heard Bhagavad Gita? Yad yad acharati shrestha tat tat evitarojana. So yet pramanam kurute lokasthanam vartate. He quoted this verse from Gita 3:21. Whatever actions a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Lord Chaitanya is taking the most extremely humble position here. He's saying, listen, a great person has come here and taken prasadam from your house. So I'm a common man. I'm a bloke of this world. I'm a loka. Yad yad acharati shrestha. That great shrestha, that great exalted person, Madhavendra Puri, he's a shrestha. Acharya shrestha. What example? This great person has set a wonderful example here. This exalted, most exalted person, Madhavendra Puri, my esteemed Param Guru, has visited your house. And I'm a common man. I'm just a mendicant. So I should follow his example. I should also come to your house. I should also accept food from your hand. all the world follows such a standard. Hearing this, then the Brahmin, and there's some discussion here about what's going on in the Brahmin's mind. So that mind of the Brahmin is being revealed by Krishna Kaviraj. He's saying, Yadyati sanodhiya haya saita brahman sanodhiya gaitan yasi nakare bhojan. Now we find out something more about the identity of the Brahmin. The Brahmin belongs to the sanodhiya Brahmin community, and a sannyasi does not accept food from such a Brahmana. As we've been speaking in our various classes, how there's so much hierarchy everywhere. So many levels of Brahman, so many levels of Vaishya, so many levels of Shudra, so many levels of Vaishnava, so many levels of Holy Dham, so many forms of the Lord. Hierarchy, hierarchy, hierarchy. So many stages and levels. It's not all one. We say, oh, he's a pure devotee. What class of pure devotee? What class of pure devotee? Pure devotee? No, there's thousands of different increments of pure devotee in classes. And now Brahman. Oh, he's a Brahman. Oh, he's a Radhakund Brahman. Oh, he's a Sanadiya Brahman. He's a Varanasi Brahman. He's a Maharashtrian Brahman. He's this, that, the other thing. So Prabhupada explains, in northwestern India, Vaishyas are divided into various subdivisions. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura points out that they are divided as Agarwal, Kalawar, and Sanwara. Out of them, the Agarwals are considered to be first-class Vaishyas. Obviously, because they're in the majority. They bought up all the little shops of all of the Kalawaras and Sanwaras. They've been bought out by the Agarwals. The Agarwals have seized everything. So they're very expert at this mercantile money lending, trading and business, so the expert Vaishyas. And the Kalawaras and Sanwaras are considered lower due to their occupational degradation. What does that mean? The Kalawaras generally take wine and other intoxicants. Although they are Vaishyas, they are lower class. The priests who guide the Kalawaras and Sanwaras are called Sanodhiya Brahmanas. In other words, if your clientele is low, then you must be low. If your clientele is high, then you must be high. So their judgment, the judgment of these Brahmins are low. So then the Brahmins are also low. High class Brahmin, high class judgment, high class Purohit. That's what's being logically probably is presenting here. Doesn't always have to be that way, obviously. But in this case, it is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that the word sanodhyada in Bengal indicates suvarna manik. In Bengal there are priests who guide the suvarna manik community, which is also considered low class. The sanodhya brahmanas were guides of the Kalawaras and Sanwaras. They are therefore considered to be lower class brahmanas, and a sannyasi is not allowed to take alms or food from them. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted lunch cooked by a sanodhiya brahmana simply because he belonged to Madhavendra Puri's community. Srila Madhavendra Puri was the spiritual master of Ishwara Puri, was the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, a spiritual relationship is established on a spiritual platform without consideration of material inferiority or superiority. So, obviously, spirit is above matter. Spirit is what counts, not matter. So materially, this was a no-no. This was forbidden. Lord Chaitanya was, first of all, a high-class Brahmin, Mishra, Bengali Mishra Brahmin, very high-class Brahmin from very illustrious dynasty, Nilambara Chakravarti and Jagannath Mishra. And now a sannyasi initiated by Kesha Bharati, also a famous, prestigious sannyasi Brahmin in the Vedas. Advaitin Sampradaya. And now he's come to Mathura, now there's this low class Brahmin. Similar thing is there in Jagannath Puri. During the Rath Yatra time, there are a class of Brahmins that come originally from the Shabara class. The Shabara class, they are a class of people, jungle type people that care for pigs. But even in their society, they're caring for pigs and they eat pigs. But they have a Brahmin class. So the Brahminical class of the Shabara clan, they do the Seva Puja of Jagannath during the Anavasara. It's called Navakalevaram or Anavasara. When the Lord changes his body or gets repaired, if it's not every 12 years they change the body, it's called Navakalevaram. Navakalevaram means new body, which is every 12 years, or it depends, maybe longer, maybe 19 years, depending on the astrological configuration. But the Anavasara means the form of the Lord every year is renewed. They take off the canvas off the Daru. The Daru Brahman, the wooden form, Murti of the Lord is covered with canvas, and that canvas is painted with the beautiful smile and eyes of Lord Jagannath. They take off that canvas and other veins and all these different things they call it. Seven different coverings of the body, the koshas, and then they renew that Anavasara every year. And then he comes out for Rathiyatra, there's a darshan. So this service is done during this time when the Lord is sick, preparing the infusions of drugs and infusion of natural medicines, juices, etc. All this is done by the one class called Mahapatras. I think it's Mahapatras, like Jagannath Mahapatra, this one Brahmin we all, most of us know. The Mahapatras. They have 2 weeks a year, they do the seva of Jagannath. But they don't serve outside of that 2 weeks. They're on vacation. So they're considered low class Brahmins. They're arisen Brahmins, but they're considered low class. So in the same way, the son of the Brahmin who was entertaining Lord Chaitanya at his house, he was considered a low-class Brahmin. Lord Chaitanya didn't care. He said, I don't judge you by your cover. We have a phrase in English, don't judge a book by its cover. The cover may be so nice, but the book may be very bad. The cover may be very bad, but the book may be very good. So the cover of a devotee may be very bad, but he may be very good, good-hearted. So we have to go deeper. Lord Chaitanya was not superficial. He did not use superficial analysis to make a judgment. He went deep into the matter, the heart matter. The heart is what matters. What matters is the heart. So he went deep into the heart matter, and he could understand, this person has prema utgam. Prema has arisen and awoken in this person, this son of the Brahman. Therefore, he's fallen at my feet in the temple of Keshavji. He surrendered himself to me. Submission. Then permission, then admission. So he's fallen at my feet, and I recognize that his prema is moving in his heart. Prema has moved him to fall at my feet. So many other Brahmins are looking at me. They're spectators. Chamatkara Deki. Loki Deki Chamatkara. So many other members, they're all surrounding me in the temple. They're taking darshan of Keshavji. And I've seen my display of ecstatic dancing. And chanting. Now they become. They're all looking, chamatkar, amazed, astounded, but no one is moving. No one is, they're seeing me, they're having such a darshan of Hari, Radha and Krishna. So they're all looking, all these Brahmins in the temple are looking at me, but none of them are impelled. None of them are impelled to fall at my feet and surrender. Why? Because they haven't been touched by Guru Kripa. When one is touched by Guru Kripa, then he acts properly, according to time, place, and circumstance. So, the Sanadiya Brahman has been touched by the Kripa of Madhavendra Puri. And by receiving that mercy, he is a perfect judge of place and circumstance. Oh, this great sannyasi is dancing. He's an extraordinary person. I should submit to him. I should take shelter. My super soul is telling me there's something grand here, something wonderful happening here. I don't want to miss this opportunity. I'm not simply going to stand by the wayside, stand by and watch and look like every other Brahmin with my jaw hanging down. No, I'm going to submit. I shouldn't miss this opportunity. He may dance right out of the temple and I'll never see him again. An opportunity knocks, then open the door. Whatever the expression is. Don't miss the opportunity. So, he immediately jumped rightly, laid at the feet of the Lord. And then the Lord picked him up and embraced him. Said, yes, you've understood. You've understood my mission. You have understood my mission and you showed submission. Therefore, I'll give you admission. And then with my permission, you'll get the eternal service of Radha Krishna. So then he lifted him up and embraced him. And then he said, now let's dance together. And they danced together in ecstasy. And everybody else got infected by that. And then they started chanting and dancing and laughing. Hase, Kande, Nache, Gai. Dancing, singing, laughing, crying. So Lord Chaitanya, he judged him by his spiritual attainment. He judged him by his heart. He examined his heart. What is the heart of the matter? It's the heart that matters. We have expressions. We have to get to the heart of the matter. No, devotees rephrase this. It is a matter of the heart. We have to look into the matter of the heart. What is the heart made of? How is the heart moving? What is there in the heart? And this is it's called the Surup Lakshana of Bhakti. The Surup Lakshana of Bhakti, of devotion, the primary symptom, lakshana, or characteristic of devotion, is how much the person is actually surrendered to Krishna in the heart. Due to prarabdha karma, due to circumstances and bad association and conditioning, externally he may be out of it. He may be swimming in illusion, or he may be swimming in anarthas, or swimming in sin. But in his heart he's praying, oh my Lord, I accept you as my everything. I want to worship you, I want to serve you, I want to dedicate everything to you, I want to love you. I'm actually my heart of hearts, I'm surrendering to you. But it's my mind, my karma, it's destroying me, pushing me this way, that way. So this person is actually very advanced because of the heart, deep in their heart they've actually fully accepted Krishna. This is Jiva Goswami explaining that through his commentary in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the internal surrender to the Lord. And if that person, because that's actually bhakti is taking hold of its heart, because bhakti is synonymous with surrender. So now if that bhakti and that surrendered mood is in the heart, pretty soon all that anarthas and all that contamination, external coverings will be washed off. And the person will shine forth. His bhakti and his surrender will shine forth and bring him success. But sometimes people externally, they make a show, Haribo, Haribo, and so much external devotion and all mechanical exhibition of principles and practices, external manifestation of principles and practices, but in their heart of hearts, they don't really accept it. They don't really believe that God is a person or Krishna is that person or God. And so they go through the motions. They go through the motions of devotion. They go through the motions of devotion for a few years, and then all of a sudden, beep, and then they never. And then if you even speak to them, they become offended. Oh, this Krishna. And you say, whoa, what's happened here? Because there was no real surrender in the heart. This is a little bit of a tangential point, but it's not really. Because Lord Chaitanya, this is what Prabhupada's saying here, that because anyone say, oh, Lord Chaitanya, mate, you're violating all the sannyas code of etiquette and the brahminical code of etiquette. You're going to this low-class Brahmin's house, you're taking food from there? Ah! Ah! And we saw that play. Ah! Ah! What is this? Ah! How can you do this? You're condemned! Condemned! Your behavior is most unusual. Unacceptable behavior. You become outcast from the sannyas order. Lord Chaitanya is apparently risking something here. He's risking his name and fame. Like the gopis, how much risk? Gopis are high-risk policy. No insurance company will sign up the gopis. There's a high risk. At any moment, simply to hear a little toot on the flute, and they'll abandon everything. Loka Dharma, Sri Dharma, Patni Dharma. Everything. There's a very high risk. We can't give coverage here. They're unpredictable. They're desperate. They could do anything. If that black snake calls them, they could do anything. They'll run, they'll fly, they'll jump. So they don't care about name or fame. Because love is ruling their heart. Their attraction, attachment for Krishna is pulling the strings of their heart and their body. So Lord Chaitanya, he, like the gopis, he is pulled and controlled by the strings of the devotee's heart. The strings of the devotee's hearts are pulling him and making him move. What does society think? I don't care. What the brahminical community, high-class Brahmins, who are the high-class Brahmins of Mathura? Chobe. Chobes. Chobes are very high class Brahmin. What the Chobes think, I don't care. I'm going to the low class Brahmin. And everyone says, oh, this is Chaitanya, this is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I've heard something about him. Isn't he the illustrious son of Jagannath Mishra? Isn't he the famous Nimai Pandit? I heard that the famous Nimai Pandit has taken sannyas. He's become Sri Krishna Chaitanya, some brahmachari name. So much humble title. This Chaitanya is his name, brahmachari. This is not a sannyas name. It's a brahmachari name. Chaitanya Sarup, these are brahmachari names. It should be Puri or Ashram or another name. And now he's come to our city of Mathura, and then, do you know where he's taking his lunch today? He's taking his lunch from a Stanodiya Brahmin. Ah, what? So this is, he's risking, Lord Chaitanya is risking so much. He doesn't care. In love there's no rules. Remember what he said. Love is his own rule. In love there's no rules, and rules there's no love. So the Lord moves on the principle of love, not rule. That's why he's called Prem Purushottam. The Lord who moves on the principle of love is called Prem Purushottam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord who moves on the principle of love is called Maryada Avatar. Maryada Purushottam, Bhagavan Ramachandra. So this Lord Chaitanya is something different, extraordinary. That's why he's so attractive. His pastimes are so beautiful and liberal and encompassing. Tarapiya puri deki tanra vaishnavachar shishyakari tanra biksha kaila angikar. Although that Brahmin belonged to the Sanodiya community, Srila Madhavendra Puri had seen that Brahmin behaved like a Vaishnava and had therefore accepted him as his disciple. The food that this Brahmin cooked was also accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Puri Deki Vaishnava Achar. When Madhavendra Puri came to Mathura on his yatra, Braj Yatra, and he met this person, the son of the Brahmin, he observed him. So we judge a person on the basis of how they speak and how they behave. Sanatana Goswami was glorifying Haridas Thakur. He said, I see Haridas Thakur, I'm seeing. Haridas Thakur, I'm seeing that you behave very nicely. Achi, Acha Sadachar. Your behavior is very good, very proper. Very ideal Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava Sadachar. I see that. And I hear, when you speak Harikata, it is very appealing to my heart. And it is very correct and accurate according to the Gaudiya Siddhanta. So your speaking, your preaching is very good. And your actions, I see that your actions are also very good. So you are the ideal acharya. You are Nam Acharya. You're behaving ideally, and you're speaking and preaching ideally, Harikata. So Lord Chaitanya, excuse me, Madhavendra Puri, when he came to Mathura and he met the Sanodiya Brahmin, he saw he's behaving very nice, Vaishnavachara, very wonderful Vaishnava behavior. And then what did he do? Shishyakari. He accepted him as his disciple, as Shishya. And after accepting him as his disciple, then he agreed to come and take bhikshu. This is some food stuff in his house. Angikar. He accepted Angikar. So this is some of the history. Krishnadas Kaviraj is giving us some of the history. Now we're finding more out about this Ekavipra. Many 15 verses ago we heard that one Vipra met Lord Chaitanya. Now this is very significant. Why the word Vipra? So up until this point, we heard that there was one Brahmin. A Vipra may not necessarily be a Vaishnava. A Vipra may be a Brahmin, because we have Mayavadi Brahmins also. But a Vipra, generally a Vipra, someone's called a Vipra. If they are, actually the word has two words together. Vishesh Pragya, something or other. Pragya means very learned, Pragyan. Pragyan Vishesh means special. So Vipra means someone has special knowledge. He has special knowledge. In what? He has special knowledge, Jyotirved. He's a Jyotirved Vipra. He's an Ayurved Vipra. He's a Vastuved Vipra. He's a Stapatived Vipra. There's different Vedic sciences. And he's expert in them. And he's a Brahmin. And he's initiated with Upanayanam. But he may not be a Vaishnava. He may be a Smarta. He may be simply absorbed in demigod worship. Understand? You follow? But a Vaishnava is something extraordinary. He is a worshipper of Vishnu, of the personal form of Godhead. But a Brahmin may be a worshipper of Brahman, or not even a worshipper of Brahman, simply the karmakanda Brahmins. They're simply happy with this world, or possibly the heavenly world, worshipping various devas and devatas. Demigod worship, as we say. So he was introduced as a Vipra. It's very important. Krishna's coverage, when the story began, it said, Lord Chaitanya entered the temple and Ek Vipra saw him. So it just said he's a Brahmin. Now we hear, so the son of the Brahmin, they have a bunch of Vaishyas that are their Jajaman, known as Kalawara and Sanwara. The Sanwara and Kalawara Vaishya community, and they're considered a low-class Vaishya community because they're addicted to drinking and bad habits. And so, by association with these low-class Jajamans, or by their own character, the Sanodhya Brahmins are considered to be low-class Brahmins. So there's no mention, so far there's no mention of Vaishnava. It's a Brahmin, and he has a Jajaman, and he does his puja, maybe he does his Devi puja, Deva puja, Devi puja, all Karmakanda puja for these Agarwals. Yes, give me money, give me that, worship Durga, this, that, Navaratri puja, this puja, that puja. And Madhavendra Puri came and he met the same son of the Brahmin, or Vipra. Now he's observing Deki Vaishnavachar. So now he's a Vipra, which means you could say a Smarta, or we could say materialistic Brahmin. He's not a spiritual Brahmin. He's a materialistic Brahmin, concerned with this material world and the enjoyments and movements and arrangements of this material world, karma kandya, which is about 80% of the Vedic literature, is karma kandya, karma kanda, and some jnana kanda, and a little bit of bhakti upasana, which is like 1,000% or something. So now, when Madhavendra Puri meets him and observes his behavior, he says, his behavior is like a Vaishnava. So much humility. Humility you don't find in Smarta Brahman. So much humility, so much loving feelings, loving dealings. So Vaishnava Achar, and because I observe this Vaishnava Achar in him, and that he has the qualification, because the disciple must exhibit some qualification to get accepted by the guru. The guru must see something. Vaishnavata. Tendency to worship Vishnu, to surrender to Vishnu. Must be something there. Must be some testing period, some trial period. And Hari Bhakti Vilas is telling that the guru should examine the disciple for a minimum of 1 year, as recommended 3 years. Examining day-to-day he's serving, he's doing humble service, and he's hearing and serving. Then he makes this decision whether to accept him and give him diksha and upanayanam or not. Minimum is 1 year. Standard is three to five years. So there's some observation. There's some conclusion. Like science. Science means hypothesis. Observation. No, hypothesis, experiment, observation, and conclusion. That's science. So the spiritual science, you have a hypothesis. I think that this person may become a Vaishnava. This is my hypothesis. If I add this and this, I'll get that. If I add my mercy to his Shraddha, Ado Shraddha, Tata Sada Sangha, if I add my Sangha and my mercy to his faith, if I combine these two, this is my hypothesis, I may produce gold. What is gold? Gold means a Vaishnava. Valuable object. Very valuable person. So that is an hypothesis. Now I execute the experiment in the laboratory. What is the laboratory? Gurukul, ashram, guru's ashram. This is a laboratory. And I do different testing and do the seva, not seva, collect firewood and clean the food. I test, is there humility? Is there Vaishnavachar? Is there some potential here? So then I do the experiment and I observe. What is the response? How is the bhakta coming? Is he developing his humility, his knowledge, his attachment, his faith, his interest, his curiosity, his hope? Everything is increasing. And I draw a conclusion. Yes, my experiment worked. He has become a Vaishnava. Now, Diksha. So Madhavendra Puri has done this in a very fast way. He's observed Vaishnavachar. Yes, you have Vaishnavachar. And this, in fact, is the qualification for Diksha. What is the qualification for Vaishnava Diksha? Gyan? It's achar, behavior. Because behavior shows the heart. And the heart can only be shaped according to the knowledge required. It requires certain knowledge and it gives you certain ideas, and certain ideas take the shape of action, and action is an expression of your heart and your realization of the knowledge acquired. So if a person gets so much knowledge in the Gurukul, but there's no proper achar, he came as a Bhatmash Gunda. He came as a Bhatmash Gunda, dacoit, hooligan. He stayed for 2 years in the ashram. He learned 3,000 verses from Bhagavatam. He learned so many verses, and he learned all puja, everything, and so many things. But no achar, no behavior. Then what is the qualification? He joined as a hooligan, and 2 years later he's a hooligan in dacoit. Will the guru initiate him? Guruji, I have so much knowledge. I know this tapa, that tapa. I have MIHE, BIHE. There's so many things I have. So many degrees I have in my pocket. Now, you initiate me. Hey, now, initiate. Guruji, initiate me. I waited here 2 years in this ashram. I mean, come on. So, it's very interesting how much we can draw from this verse about Guru Shishya Sambandha and the eligibility and what is required. What is Guru looking for? Does it say here that Madhavendra Puri was looking for Gyan? Did he examine the son of the Brahman? How much Gyan do you have? How much knowledge do you have? Do you know 3 Vedas? You know 2 Vedas? You know 4 Vedas? Are you a Chaturvedi? A Trivedi? A Dvivedi? So, achar. Vaishnavachar. Behavior. Especially in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Gaudiya Vaishnavism is the path of love. So love means loving behavior, loving action. So the guru will be examining, what is the love content? What is the love content in this disciple's heart? Is there any love? Is there any softness? Is this a hard-hearted materialist? You're just making a charade. A play of is a praya, Vaishnava praya. Is this a prakriti bhakta? Is this all prakriti and a bogus show of bhakti? What is going on here? So it's an examination of heart, not mind. Guru examines heart, not mind and brain. It's heart examination. Weighs the heart, tests the heart. Then, so this is Puri Deki Tandra Vaishnavachar. He's Deki, he's so powerful. This is Madhavendra Puri, so powerful, so much power of discrimination and analysis. Simply seeing. I see the son of the Brahman. Vaishnavachar. I see Vaishnavachar. I see potential here. I see potential here. I see Adhikar here. I see Lakshana, Vaishnava characteristics and Vaishnava qualities and Vaishnavachar, Vaishnava behavior. Yes. You become my shishya. Shishya kadi tanra bhiksha kala amika. And yes, I'll take food from your hand. No problem. Let all the Brahmins criticize me. Let all the Chobes and Vrindavan criticize Madhavendra Puri for coming to Mathura and taking food from the hand of the son of the Brahmin, low-class Brahmin. Let them say whatever they say. Print it in a newspaper. Go on a campaign. Go on a walkout. Strike. I don't care. Mahaprabhu tanre jari bhiksha magila dainyakari sevipra kahite lagila. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu willingly requested food from the Brahmin. Bhiksha magila. He requested bhiksha. And the Brahmin, feeling natural humility, Danya Kari, began to speak as follows. Tomorrow, we will find out what did he say. Out of this extreme humility at the proposal of Lord Chaitanya taking food from his hand. Some suspense. Give everything at once, then it's all over. Nothing to live for. Nothing, no hope, no hankering. Hankering must always be there and always be increased. So you become mad. So much utkantita, so much, where is that boy? Where is that girl? Where are they? Then some progress begins. So you become mad with yearning, hankering. Now we're like, I'm okay, you're wherever you are. Radha and Krishna, that little boy, little girl, you're wherever you are, you do whatever you do. And I'm where I am, and I do what I do. There's no need for me to run, try to find you, or go crazy looking for you, or jump out of my body if I can't find you by the sunset. That's fine, the days go on, you go your way, I go mine. Maybe at the very end, maybe I say hello, and you say hello. But the kind of intensity that's required to realize Krishna in one life is something that's far beyond my imagination. Not to speak of implementation. We read sometimes about such desperate devotees like Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Slowly, a drop of desperation may fall on a stone-like head.